Amen, amen. I have no reason to fear. Tell your neighbor, no reason to fear. Amen. I have no reason. Well, we're excited to be here this morning. Are you excited about the Lord? I love the amazing testimonies of what God is doing. We serve a good, good Father. Amen. You said it, Emma. Is that you? Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. We're going to start our message this morning. And you have can take some notes in your bulletin if you would like. We are continuing with our reaching higher, growing stronger, and going deeper. As a church, this is what God is calling us to. This is our vision, and our purpose is to reach higher and to grow stronger and to go deeper in Christ. And so this morning, I hope you have your pen and paper, and Aaron will be putting the scriptures on the screen as we get to them. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just open up our hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us this morning. So Father, we open our hearts to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling the body of Christ to go higher. And Lord, right here at the River of Life, we're a group of people, a family that says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we'll go higher. Lord, just take us higher. And Lord, tonight, or this morning, we reach out our hands to you, and we thank you, God, for just taking a hold of us, taking a hold of our soul today, and drawing us closer to you as we move towards you today into a higher place with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour. Whatever you do or whoever you are, our future is reached 60 minutes an hour. Reaching means to stretch. It implies an inconvenience. It involves movement. You can't lean back, relax, and get comfortable. And then reach without giving up some form of comfort, at least for a moment. Reaching involves a little extra effort to get to something you want. When you want something and you have to reach for it, you know, I'll be sitting in my chair and I have my table next to me, and if something's at the back of it, I don't want to get up. I just want to reach for it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever done that? You're reaching as far as you can because you really don't want to get up. But it involves some extra energy. You have to be willing to reach for it. To extend yourself. And it really totally depends upon what you're reaching for. The more it means to you, the farther you are willing to stretch, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts, you'll stretch for it. So this morning, we're going to take a look at Philippians 3:12, and we'll read through 12, 13, and 14. This is the Apostle Paul talking to us, and I'm going to read with you. Let's read it together. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So Paul is talking about pressing on. He's talking about grabbing a hold of what Jesus Christ had already done for him. You see, the Lord has already defeated the enemy. The Lord has already paid the penalty of our sins. And so Paul says, I am going to press in and grab a hold of the promises of Jesus Christ. I'm not just going to sit around and do nothing. Because sitting around and do nothing is not going to help us change and grow into Christ. Because we are becoming like Christ. Tell your neighbor, I'm being transformed. Paul knew there was more that needed to happen in his life. He knew he had not arrived. Okay? None of us have arrived. And so all of us are pressing in to grab a hold of what Jesus Christ has already laid hold of for each one of us. Amen? Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. The church has a mandate and an assignment in this time and season in this world. As the world gets darker, the church gets brighter. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. We are the church, the body of Christ, working together to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, to help one another through life's trials so that we can be strong in the Lord and we can share our testimonies out in the marketplace. You see, we serve God wherever we are. We're not a Sunday morning only church. Come on, live for Jesus every moment of every day. You have 60 minutes every hour that will take you into your future. And how you spend those 60 minutes will determine your destiny. We can't expect to be something great in God and to accomplish a lot in this life if we waste hours. Someday we're going to give an account for our time. Someday we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. Yes. Hallelujah. So God is speaking to us about reaching forward. We are reaching higher. We need to lay a hold of what God has already attained for us. Let's go on. Read it together. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So there is a part of reaching and reaching higher that causes limitations to begin to break off of us. You see, when we are just comfortable in our space and we're not reaching beyond, we become limited. If you're not stretching, if you're not moving, you're going to become limited in your abilities physically. And the same thing goes for our spiritual walk with God. We've got to reach to attain. We've got to go beyond. We've got to move forward into those things that are ahead. But you see, we cannot move forward if we're dragging things with us. You know, as I was thinking about the scripture, I thought, well, it's leaf raking time. Anybody rake leaves around here? You know, and you can rake those leaves onto this big tarp, and then you grab that tarp and you start to pull it. You know, maybe you have a friend or someone in the family that's got one corner, but you're dragging that thing behind you. And we would usually drag it to the woods. And dump it in the woods. But what I love even more is when Leonard comes to the rescue and he's riding his tractor. And he's got the vacuum hooked up to it. And the vacuum comes and just vacuums up all those leaves. Yes! Then you don't have to drag all that behind you. But you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about dragging? You're just dragging this stuff with you. You know, you've got to leave some things behind. You can't take everything with you. It reminds me of when I'm packing for a trip. You know, when you're packing your suitcases. You cannot take everything with you. Even things that you think is absolutely necessary, that you just have to have, you can't have everything in those bags. Unless you want to pay a whole lot of money for every extra bag that you put on that airplane. And wait, yes. There are some things we have to leave behind. And the Apostle Paul was talking about that. He said, those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. There are some things that we need to forget about. There are some offenses that we hold on to that keep us from moving forward. You know, I think One of the biggest ones is when you know someone when they were this way, and God's worked in their life and changed them, and now they're different. We can hold people in limitation in our mind by our judgment and opinion and keep them here rather than releasing them to be all God has called them to be. We can hold those things against them in our own mind. We can just keep going back to that and back to that. And you know, whatever you have, whatever you're thinking about another person, our situation, that is what we tend to see. We tend to see it because there's filters on our mind, filters on our eyes, and we see it a different way. Even when they talk to us, if we're hearing with those same old filters, we're going to hear them say things that might offend us or might make us think, oh yeah, they haven't changed at all. You see, there are limitations that we've got to break out of ourselves so that people can grow and become all God has called them to be. It's like holding your children to task for everything they did when they were teenagers. Come on, teenagers don't even have their right mind, is what science is telling us. The mind is pruning so quickly and developing so fast. The brain is, sometimes they don't make logical decisions. Has anyone noticed that's raised a teenager? But you cannot keep them in that place. You've got to let them become who God has called them to be. And so there are some things we need to forget about. There are some things that are in the past. And it's not any different in the church. And when you're in the family of God. Because people are at different ages, different stages of growing in their spiritual life. And so when you grow up together in Christ, there are areas that people change. Have you changed? And so allowing people to grow and fulfill the call of God on their life. And watch them mature. Is it the families are all about helping one another mature? Did you know that? You teach your children how to become responsible adults. You teach them how to take care of themselves, and someday they will live on their own and be responsible. And that's one of the greatest joys of a parent, is to see your children, responsible adults, contributing to society. And living on their own. Is that right? Parents that have raised young adults, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's the fruit of your labor. You don't necessarily, you're not cutting off all connections with them, but you're allowing them to be and to grow. And so there are some things that we have to leave behind and stop thinking about if we're going to reach forward. And there, your judgments can hold people in place. Did you know that? Your judgments of them can hold them in place. And so we want to just break all ungodly judgments that we would hold against somebody else. All those opinions that we might have. Because it's not about our opinion. It is about seeing beyond that and seeing what God is doing in each other's life. But letting go of the past. So let's read the next one. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's an upward call. When you hear the word upward, you begin to think higher. There's a higher call that is upon our life. And it is the call of God. It's an upward call. And it's a continually reaching. When you press something, when you press for something, you have to hold on to it. So you're pressing into God and holding on to His promises. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. As I was meditating on this, I was thinking about when Jesus spoke to Satan and said, "Get thee behind me." And that's in Luke 4:8. Do you have that passage? Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" This is Jesus when Satan took him to the mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, "If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this." And Jesus spoke right to him and said, "Satan, get thee behind me." He wanted nothing to do with that. There was another time Jesus said that. And that's in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. From that time, read with me please, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So Jesus actually spoke that directly to Peter. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to that spirit that was in him that was trying to hinder what God was doing in his life. Now, I don't recommend that you do that directly to your family when they start arguing with you about, "Get behind me, Satan." Oh, my, my, my. You might be thinking that. But you see, God had a plan for Jesus' life. And it was a plan that would save the world and birth forth the church. And so it was a plan of redemption that was set forth from the very beginning of time. And Satan began to work in Peter's mind and tell him, "Oh no, you can't let that happen to Jesus." And so Jesus said directly to him, "Get behind me, Satan." So there are things that hold us back. And the main thing that holds us back is that spirit of Antichrist and that spirit of Satan, which is the same thing. Antichrist. That Antichrist spirit, Jesus said, is already in the world, and we see it functioning at a greater and greater level within the world. But we know that that time would come when people would not want to hear the name of Jesus. The scripture says they do not want to endure sound doctrine. We have generations that do not want anyone to tell them what to do. And they have absolutely no respect for authority. And they have no respect for rules and regulations and guidelines that have been set forth even in our Senate. Come on. How many times did we hear quiet in the gallery? Quiet in the gallery. Sergeant of arms, take care of the gallery. You know, it was over and over again because people have no respect for what is set forth. When I heard that, I thought, where are people's manners? We might not agree, but we should still be respectful and follow the rules that are set forth in the public place that we're attending the meeting. Nobody invited them. It's a privilege to be able to go in and sit there. They wouldn't have to let anybody come in there. But we see this over and over again. When my brother Ed was in college, was when the protesters were protesting the, I think it might have been the Vietnam War. But they were protesting, and I think that's when things really started to break loose with protesting, and they were taking over public places, and they would actually go to, he went to IU, and they would go to IU, and they would lay on the steps to try and keep students from going to class to protest. And my brother said he would walk on anyone that got in front of him, and he would stomp on their heads as hard as he could as he went up those steps. And he said, I was not going to let anybody keep me from going to class. This is my right. I have paid for it. I have worked really hard for it. And who are they? They're the ones that are out of order, laying on those steps. So he would walk right on them and go right on up. So I don't know how I got off on that. It's that Antichrist spirit. And it will resist you from learning and growing and being able to provide for yourself, to be able to sow into the kingdom of God, and to be able to be a voice out in the marketplace, out into the highways and byways. You can see how that spirit is constantly trying to shut up the church. But I believe, even with this last whole series of events that have happened, there have been people that have taken a stand for righteousness. We take a stand for righteousness. Righteousness and integrity is going to prevail. It might look like we're losing the battle, but we know that in the end, God's righteousness and God's integrity and justice is what is going to be manifested, because God has the last say. We have no reason to fear. Tell your neighbor, I have no reason to fear. My God has the last say. The doctor might say one thing, but God has the last say. Your boss might be telling you something, Norm, but God has the last say. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm so thankful that Elder Carol was in the hospital room with Elder Jim and could advocate for him and said, do something about this. Come on. Wake up. Wake up. Do something about this. You know, we need an advocate. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you an advocate. And he is the Holy Spirit. And he'll be your attorney. He'll be your lawyer. He'll be your guide. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your comforter. He'll be with you every minute of every day. Our God has the final say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our God has the final say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've been praying for Brother Josh. He's been in a situation that he's been wanting to get out of, and God's making a way, because God has the final say. You know, if God can deliver Daniel out of the lion's den, he can deliver us from anything we're facing. I can't imagine being in a lion's den with a group of hungry lions. And if God is able to shut the lion's mouth, then he is able to deliver us out of our situation. We've just got to be patient and wait, and we're not real good at that, right? Right? We'd like it right now. Right now. I'm a right now person. Give it to me now. But God says, oh no, you've got to wait for that. But God says, I'm coming through. You see, Josh, God's coming through for Josh. He's been wanting to get his own place. And God is coming through for him and opening up a way. So let's just stretch our hands towards him, because he's talking with the landlords tomorrow. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for favor. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way maker, and you're making that way for Josh. And Lord, you're delivering him out of his situation. We pray, Father, for the new place that he goes into. God, that your presence will fill that place. And Lord, that he will find peace and rest in that place. And Gavin will find peace and rest in that place. And Lord, that their relationship with you will deepen, and they will grow closer to you and stronger in you, and that they will be the light and the witness, God, that you've called this young man to be in this day and in this hour. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 Give the Lord a praise. Let's read James 4, 7 through 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So these are some instructions from James. And James is telling us that for us to be able to say, Satan, get thee behind me. I bind you in Jesus' name. You get out of this situation. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I resist you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've got to go. You see, you've got to begin to talk into your situation. You feel the enemy coming into your house. It's time for you to begin to stand up and speak the word of God. And exercise that authority that God has given you over the enemy. You see, he paid the price. Paul said, I'm pressing on to lay a hold of. See, that's one thing we can lay a hold of. The authority that God has given us over all the works of the enemy. He's given it to us. We need to use it. But first of all, we've got to submit to God. We've got to submit to God. And when we submit to His will and resist the devil, he has got to go. He cannot stay. He doesn't stand a chance. He's got to get out of the situation. He has to. Tell your neighbor he has to. He has nothing except for deception. That's all he has. That's how he hooks in every single Christian and every person that's not saved. He uses deception. He is deceitful and he is a liar. The scripture says he is the father of lies. So you see, when he starts to speak to you and he starts to get in the midst of your family and your relationships, you've got to be wise and know that that is the devil working against you and you have authority over him. You do not have to sit down and cry about it. You don't have to whine about it. Come on. Come on. We don't have to cry about it. We just need to speak the truth and bind that devil and get him out of that situation. God is good. God is good. You know, we're in a fight. We are in a fight. And I pray that God is stirring up that warrior anointing in you. Because, church, we cannot sit back and do nothing in this season. God is calling us. He's raising up an army, like Elder Jim said this morning. That was a prophetic decree. God is raising up an army. He's raising up an army. We are soldiers of the Lord. And we are fully equipped for battle. Come on, you got to lay a hold of the weapons of our warfare that God has given to us to fight with. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds is anything that has a stronghold on you. If it's got a stronghold on you, then you have weapons to fight with. And your weapons are the Word of God. The Word of God. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. And in this season, we're learning how to use that word of God. Because there is a war that's going on in the heavenlies. I'm going to just refer to this. I'm not going to read. Well, pull up Daniel 10, 12 through 14. There was a war going on for Daniel. Daniel had had a vision. And he was very troubled by this vision. And he did not know what it meant. And so what Daniel did was, he began to fast. He had been on a 21-day fast. He fasted, and he only ate fruit and vegetables, I think. It was like he gave up meats. Yeah. And so he was desperate. You know, when you get in a desperate situation, you've got to fast. I don't think there's anybody here that goes, oh, yay, let's fast. Let's just eat vegetables for 21 days. Yay. you know, your body, you can do that for a day or two, and then you're just like, why did I commit to this? Jesus, help me. I want a hamburger. You start thinking of all that food. You got to, like, take authority over that stronghold, right? Because it'll start pulling you, pulling on your flesh. But Daniel was desperate for clarity. Sometimes we need to fast and pray for several days to get clarity. But this passage, let's just read this, because he had prayed and fasted, and this is, an angel came to him, and this was the report from the angel. The angel came to him, it's in chapter 10, if you want to read the whole thing when you get home. And the angel came to him, and he said this, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words." Now, what is significant there? Your words. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, he is talking about this war that was going on in the heavenlies. In the second heaven, there is a war going on. Michael was sent down from the third heaven where God is to come through that second heaven to fight so that this messenger could get on through. All right, you got that? There is a war that goes on in the second heaven to keep your answers from coming. Apostle Leon talked about how the Lord had showed him to break through that second heaven, to reach into where God is and pull down the answer. You pull down heaven to earth. This is an example of that in the scripture. Daniel was praying. His words were heard. His prayer was heard. Now, a lot of us give up after 2 or 3 days. You actually even forget you prayed it. A lot of times you'll forget you prayed something, and then the answer comes, and you're so surprised that you got the answer because you totally forgot. Has anybody else ever done that? I really should write everything down that I pray for, but that's probably what I would be doing all day is just writing. Hallelujah. Because God has answered so many prayers. He's answered so many prayers. And so there is a delay in the demonic realm. There is another realm of the spirit. Okay, let's read on. "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." So Daniel prayed and sought God. And principalities and powers detained the answer from coming through. But he did receive his clarity and his understanding, but he had to be willing to pray and to wait. Let's go to Ephesians. We were talking about resisting the devil, taking authority over the enemy. This gives us a, Daniel's story gives us a better understanding of what goes on in the spirit realm. There are demons opposing you. There are dark powers opposing you. Ephesians 6, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our battle is not with people. People are not the problem. The problem's the problem. And then what is behind that problem, inspiring it and giving it power. We must remember that. You'll hear me say many times, don't take sides. Why aren't we taking sides? Because we're taking the Lord's side. Now the Lord's side may fall to the left. I doubt it. Fall to the right. Which side is the Lord on? We have to look at that. And that's the side that we take. Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And we see a whole lot of flesh and blood raising up in this season. People really acting out. Acting out. Because they feel so strongly about something. When we're on the Lord's side, we don't have to act out. All we have to do is speak those words, the word of God, and God has a whole army of angels that will carry out his word. They will work on your behalf. That's a promise in the scripture, that the angels minister to the heirs of salvation. We are the heirs of salvation. The angel that came to Daniel strengthened him because he was so weak. So angels can strengthen us. God has what we need to win this battle. God has what we need to get through this life. God has what you need. Tell your neighbor, God has what you need. So we stay focused on what is God's will. What does God's word say? I cannot go to the polls and vote against God's word. Christians cannot. Christians cannot. If we are really on the Lord's side, and there's a story in the Old Testament where people were asked whether or not they were on the Lord's side. The people who weren't on the Lord's side met their destruction. So in the end, everything will be judged, but we will be judged for what we stood for. And we want to be on, I want to be, I don't know about you, do you want to be on the Lord's side?
Yes.
We're on the Lord's side. Amen. And so that is what unites us. What unites us is the Lord's side. It isn't Democrat or Republican or independent. It isn't the right. It isn't the left. It is what is on the Lord's side. The government is upon his shoulders. We're in a different government. And we will fight for what is right. We will, but we fight differently. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Church, we fight on our knees. We fight in prayer. We fight together to release decrees and declare God's word and God's will over situations. We have authority. We have power because Jesus has given it to us. Jesus is on the inside of us. We are anointed. Tell your neighbor, you're anointed. And like Norm said today, prayers are powerful. They are powerful. Don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that you don't need to pray or I'll pray later. I'll pray tonight. We hear all kinds of things. Oh, just, you know, that's not that important. Or someone else is praying for that. You know, you can get that message too. Oh, you don't need to pray for that. Someone else is praying for that. No, if it's coming to you, it's probably yours to pray for. It might not make sense to you. And like Elder Jim said, if you don't know how to pray, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray for that situation because our God knows the end from the beginning. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is for us and not against us. And we love him. We love Him and thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prayer is the key to heaven. And faith unlocks the door. Got to have faith. Got to. All right, we're going to begin to wrap this up. Just one more thing about the reach. John Maxwell said, without dreams, we will never reach beyond our current circumstances. Without dreams, we will never reach beyond our current circumstances. And one of the biggest problems is that you can become comfortable and familiar with how life is going right now. Just comfortable with it, rather than reaching beyond where we are. And then we have the fear that we'll fail. Fear of failure. But you'll never know if you don't take the risk. And that's what I say to myself. Well, I'm willing to take the risk because I don't know what God's going to do if I'm not willing to step out of my comfort zone. Got to step out of it. And press on to that upward call that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that's gone forth today. I thank you, Father, for everyone that has heard this word. Lord, I pray that you plant it in the hearts, in the soil of their heart, and you continue to teach them. Lord, that you continue to water it, that we continue to grow in you, God, and that we continue to reach higher, to press on, to move forward, to leave behind what needs to be left behind, and to press in, Lord God, to all that you have for us in this season. Lord, I pray for those that are weary today. Lord, renew their strength, renew their hope, renew their trust in you, oh God. We thank you, Father God. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through you. And Lord, I thank you that you are going to see each one of us through in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call for praise team to come up and we're going to sing our closing song. And while we're getting ready to do that, why don't you just hug somebody? Stand up and give someone a hug and tell them you're glad they are here. And we're going to get ready to do our closing song. Can you all stand? Are you stuck to your seats? Hallelujah. Somebody put super glue on them or? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for our River family. Thank you for our friends and guests that came out today. Lost or saved, find their way. So I just want to challenge you as the team is coming to think of areas in your life that you could be reaching higher this week. You know, you've got to do the reach. When you're renewing your mind and you're trying to change your thought patterns, one of the key things is to do something 7 times in a day that will help remind you of the change that you're making. And what happens is that causes your brain to begin to make new pathways for the thoughts to travel. And the old pathways begin to shrink, and eventually your brain will actually prune those off and get rid of them. And so there's this whole process that we see in God's Word. They're proving it now in science, but it was already in God's Word. He's telling us every day, we've got to reach. We've got to press on. This is not a one-time thing. So I challenge you this week, ask the Lord, what is one thing that you need to be reaching for? And what is it that you need to leave behind? Because together, church, we are going to move forward into everything God has for us. Let's sing this morning, lost or saved, found their way at the sound of his great name.